Grace, mercy, and peace be to you from God our Father and our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ.
Amen.
Happy 4th of July weekend, everybody. I don't know about you, but the 4th of July has always been one of my favorite holidays for as long as I can remember. Even as a kid, I always loved the fireworks, those late summer nights, the barbecues. It was always just a great time to run around the neighborhood with your friends and just have fun. And so, I hope this holiday weekend everybody here has or will find something fun and safe to do for this holiday weekend. Because I think it's only right that we should celebrate. America is not perfect by any stretch of the imagination, but you and I are blessed in so many different ways to be living in a country like this. So I think it's only right that we should celebrate. Though, for as many things as America does that's really, really good, there's a few things that us Americans could, well, improve on. For one, Americans are not very good at resting. Dear friends, I looked up some statistics, and it turns out that the typical American worker spends about 1,780 hours a year on the job. That works out to about 44 and a half work weeks in a year. Sounds about right to me. But when you compare that number to how many hours a year they work in England or Australia, well, Americans work 200 more hours a year than they do over there. And the difference is even bigger when you compare it to other countries. In fact, when you compare how many hours Americans work to how many hours Germans work, Americans work 500 more hours a year than they do over in Germany. 500 more hours, guys, that's 12 and a half work weeks. That's more than 3 months. That's crazy. And if I'm being honest with you guys, when I first heard those statistics, I had a very American response. I was a little bit proud of us. You know, way to go, America, working harder and longer than most anybody else. You know, keeping the world running smooth. Though, there is a darker side to all those statistics. You see, Americans are some of the most stressed out people on the planet. In fact, out of the 193 countries that currently exist on planet Earth, the United States comes in fourth. We are the fourth most stressed out country in the world. Dear friends, that is not something to be proud about. In fact, it's a little bit sad, but that's the way it is. Because more Americans than ever are reporting feeling stressed or worried about the future or even angry. Dear friends, do some of those words describe you? I think we can all agree there is no shortage of things to be stressed about or worried about or even angry about. I know for many of us, the thing looming over the horizon is school. What is school going to look like a few months from now? I've talked with some of the confirmands. They're worried if they're going to be able to see their friends in school next year, or will they still be stuck on Zoom? I've talked with some of the parents, and they're worried if there's even going to be in-person classes. Or will it be a half day, or maybe something else entirely? I mean, as a parent, what do you do if you have to pick your child up at noon every day for a year? That throws everything off. And those school questions, they're weighing on me too. I have to go back to St. Louis for my school in 3 weeks. I don't know what that's going to look like. Right now, it doesn't seem like they know what that's going to look like. You know, but after that, you know, I get to graduate and I get to enter, you know, start my career, enter the job market. I can be a pastor at a church somewhere. Though, with the economy the way it is, will churches be looking to add another salary? Maybe not. And that's the situation that affects all of us here. I know many of us are postponing retirement, you know, working longer than we ever had expected. Others of us are struggling to find work or have lost our jobs. And so who knows what the job market's going to look like a year from now? Who knows what the country is going to look like a year from now? COVID cases are on the rise. There's a presidential election in November. There's protests in the street. Dear friends, there is no shortage of things to be stressed about. But you know what the most frustrating thing out of it all is? There's not a lot you or I can do about it. Really, when it comes down to it, it doesn't make a difference how hard we try or how long we work. We're not going to be able to stop the coronavirus. We're not going to be able to control what the country is going to look like 11 months from now. We're not even going to be able to choose when the schools open. No, if these last few months have taught us anything, it's that there are certain things that are just outside of our control. Certain things that are just bigger than us. And dear friends, as an American, I do not like to hear that. I don't. I like to be able to pull myself up by my bootstraps. I like to work hard and get what I want. I like to be able to put in the time and get the payoff. But what about times like now? Times when that's not the case. Times when no matter how much work we put into it or how much time we spend on it, we're still not in control. Well, on one hand, lucky for us, because Jesus had something to say about that. Though I guess that means unlucky for Jesus, because that means he was in the exact same position we're in right now. He was working hard, and things were still not working out. You see, that's exactly where we find him in our gospel reading for today. Him and the disciples, they've been working hard, and things have still not been panning out for them. See, Jesus and the disciples, they've been traveling around. They've been going to different cities and towns and throughout the countryside, and they've been preaching the gospel. They've been teaching the people. They've been doing miracles in front of them, like right in front of their faces. They've been putting in the work. But what the Bible tells us is that in those cities and towns where Jesus and the disciples tried the hardest, where they spent the most time, where they preached the loudest, where they did the most miracles, in those very same towns, they still rejected him. They still didn't want to have anything to do with Jesus. They didn't want to listen to him. They didn't want to have him around. You see, Jesus had been putting in the work, and things still haven't been paying off. Dear friends, could you imagine that? Spending years, maybe even a lifetime, working and struggling and sacrificing. And once you get to that point where there's supposed to be that payoff, there just isn't. Maybe you can. Maybe you can relate to all of those disciples gathered around Jesus, just exhausted. All those disciples gathered around, looking back at all the work that they've been doing and wondering if it's just a colossal waste of time. All those disciples stressed about the future, angry about how things turned out. And Jesus is no stranger to those emotions either. I mean, he's swimming in it right now. And as he looks around at all of his disciples, he knows they're swimming in it as well. He knows they need a break. And so Jesus comes over and he tells his disciples. He says, "Come to me, all who labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest." Dear friends, sometimes the hardest thing in the world to do is to take a break, is to just stop. I know for me, whenever things are busy and stress is running high, taking a break is the last thing I want to do. In fact, it often just ends up making me feel worse. I get more stressed when I take a break. Because I sit there and I think to myself, I think of all the things I still have to do. I think about how little time there is to do it. I think that I just have to try harder. And I would imagine many of those same thoughts were going through the disciples' minds when Jesus invited them to rest. Peter's over here standing to himself. He's thinking, you know, the people, they didn't believe us. So that must mean I need to preach better. John is a little bit to the left thinking to himself, you know, they didn't understand us. So that means I need to teach clearer. James is all the way in the back thinking to himself, you know, I just need to try harder. Dear friends, that is not the point. The point is not about how hard we try or about how long we work. And Jesus knows that. He knows that's not the point, and so he redirects their focus. He takes the disciples' focus off of what they can do, about how long or how hard they can try, and he puts it on himself. Jesus tells them, he says, "Take my yoke upon you and learn from me, for I am gentle and lowly in heart, and you will find rest for your souls. For my yoke is easy and my burden is light." Okay, for all of you Americans who didn't grow up 2,000 years ago in the Middle East, the yoke is that piece of wood that you tie your wagon to and then put it on the shoulders of two animals, one on the left, one on the right, so that when the animals walk forward, it pulls the whole wagon along with it. And for the animals, the yoke is about as far away from a break as possible. In fact, it's actually a lot of work. That's why they call them beasts of burden. And yet here, Jesus invites us to take his yoke upon us, to strap ourselves to Jesus. Why? Is it so that we finally start pulling our own weight? No. Is it so Jesus can take a breather? Not at all. No. Jesus invites us to tie ourselves to him, to let him carry the weight, and for us to learn that he's the only one who can. Dear friends, here it is again. "Take my yoke upon you and learn from me, for I am gentle and lowly in heart, and you will find rest for your souls. For my yoke is easy and my burden is light." You see, Jesus doesn't invite us here to take a break so that we can run out there and get back rejuvenated and try to control the world. That's not the case at all. No, Jesus here invites us to rest in him, to learn that he is already in control. Because you see, when we are tied to Jesus, we're no longer pulling alone. In fact, it's more like we're being carried along. Like those two horses from earlier, a big, strong one pulling all the weight and a and a little itty-bitty one who can barely touch the ground. And that's not the way I like to think of myself. I don't want to be that little horse that's not pulling its own weight. I want to be that big one who's pulling everything, who's in control, the strong one. But if these last few months have been a humbling experience for me, because it turns out I'm not quite as big and strong as I once thought I was, because I know now that I cannot pull the weight of the world. I can't stop the coronavirus. I can't control the election. I can't even, have a say in when the schools open. But what I can do is I can take a break, even when it's hard. I can rest in Jesus, even though it doesn't come naturally to me. I can rest in Jesus and learn that He is the one who is in control. Dear friends, that invitation is for you as well. Jesus invites you to rest in Him. Jesus invites you to take a break and learn that He is the one who's in control. In control of the big things in life and the little things. Jesus is in control of the schools and the election, the soccer game and the whole world. So the next time you are faced with something that's bigger than you, with something that you just simply cannot control no matter how hard or how long you work, rest confidently, knowing that the one who is in control loves you very, very much. Dear friends, please pray with me. Lord God, our Heavenly Father, we are not very good at resting, especially when it feels like the weight of the world is on our shoulders. Lord, take our focus away from how hard we can work and to focus it instead on what You can do. Lord, help us to rest in You and to trust in Your control and in Your goodness. We pray all of this in Your Son's name. Amen.
Amen.